This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Josh Duggar's lawyers want you to know that Josh Duggar is the one who was wronged. I'm glad we've established that. Now we can all move on. They said it. It must be true. Must be that, you know. Well, not so much in those words, but that's the message. Delivered in 2026 after Josh's brother was arrested in Florida and charged with a life felony involving a girl who was 9 from a federal prison cell, 4 years into his own 12 and a half year sentence for crimes against children. Josh and his attorney released a statement. They thought it was a good idea. And the statement was about Josh, about how he lives with the painful reality of how false accusations can destroy a life. About how publicity can twist the truth into sensationalized fiction. Can you imagine being his attorney and keeping a straight face? I mean, I don't know. Consider who's saying it. A jury already convicted him. A federal judge refused to overturn that conviction. A federal appeals court upheld it. The Supreme Court of the United States said F off and declined to touch it. Four levels of the federal judiciary have now examined the case against Josh Duggar, and not one of them found a reason to disturb it. And Josh Duggar is still telling anyone who will listen that he's the person this happened to. Here's what's actually new. And it's a contradiction his own lawyers can't quite square up. Over a stretch of months in 26, Josh Duggar was moved. Not once. He was pulled out of the facility where he'd spent most of his sentence and run through a federal medical center. Then he was staged at the government's main transfer hub. Then he was deposited at a low-security prison in Ohio, more than 800 miles from his wife and their 7 children in Arkansas. 4 facilities in 1 summer, 3 states, his attorney, a Chicago lawyer who once represented R. Kelly. You know you got it going on when your attorney once represented R. Kelly. Took that to a press conference with an explanation ready to go. The transfers, he said, are retaliation, payback, because Josh complained that guards were opening his legal mail. Ooh, he complained they're going to move him. And then telling Josh isn't an inmate being processed through the system. He's a whistleblower being punished by a vindictive one. Then there's the release date, and the release date tells a bit of a different story. When he was sentenced, Josh Duggar was projected to walk free in August of 2032. That date has now moved to October, and then it moved again now to December. Then it now sits in February 2nd of 2033, into the next year. 3 separate revisions, and here's the part that really matters. Every single one of them pushed the date later. Not one of them moved it up. In a federal system, a release date drifting in that direction again and again is not what happens to a model prisoner quietly running out his clock. The Bureau of Prisons won't explain any of it. It won't say why he keeps getting transferred, and it won't say why the date keeps sliding. It offers only that a projected release date can shift for a handful of reasons: good conduct credits, program credits, additional charges, or the loss of good time over disciplinary problems. A relative has stated publicly that Josh keeps landing back in solitary confinement over rule violations and forfeiting credit as a result. The Bureau can't confirm that. It's an unverified account, but, you know, I think we can say it's probably pretty damn true. But set the two versions side by side and look what they really are. The lawyer's version is a press release, and it says the system is persecuting an innocent man. The other version is a number on a federal record, and that number has been revised 3 times, and it has never once been revised in Josh Duggar's favor. A press release is a thing a person writes. A release date is a thing a person earns or doesn't. And the number fits him better than the persecution story does, because working around the rule that stands in his way is the single most consistent thing Josh Duggar has ever done. It is the through line of his entire life. It started when he was a teenager, and it is going on now from a cell. In case you don't know the lovely story of this man, he was 15 at the time, 5 girls, according to the police report investigators finally documented years after the fact. 4 of them were his sisters. His parents did not call the police. They did not call a hotline. They took their son to a family acquaintance who happened to be an Arkansas state trooper. And that man gave the boy a stern talking about what would happen if he kept going, and then sent him home. No report filed, no state agency notified, and under Arkansas law, that trooper was legally required to report exactly what he'd been told, and he didn't. You'll find out why in a moment. That quiet in-house handling did something specific. It ran out the clock. By the time actual police opened an actual investigation, the window to charge Josh Duggar had already closed by a matter of months, and the trooper his parents trusted with their son is now serving 56 years in an Arkansas prison for the same category of crime. Here's what will happen if you keep doing this. Apparently he didn't see the freight train coming at him either. That was the first thing ever built to stand between Josh Duggar and the consequences. A stern talk from a man who, it turned out, was doing it too. Josh walked straight through it. And the walking through never has really stopped. Move ahead a decade and a half. He's married, 7 kids. If you're like, oh, well, he ended up in prison. Not for that. No, he's scot-free on that one. That was never charged. Just discussed on television, you know, more or less admitted to. Move ahead a decade and a half. He's married, 7 kids, job in Washington, running the lobbying arm of a conservative family values organization. I know the irony. At home, another thing built to stop him, accountability. Software installed in his devices, generating reports and sending them to his wife, because in the world he lived in, being watched was a whole arrangement. His filter settings were locked down tightly enough that a technology executive from the software company testified at trial that it should have been impossible for Josh Duggar to get around on those devices. It should have been impossible. So he made it possible. He built a second hidden operating system on the same machine, a partition the accountability software could not see into. And he did his downloading over there in the dark, on the side of the computer, where his wife's report simply went blank for 2 years. That software told him no over and over, and he did not stop. He did not slip. He thought he was going to outsmart it. He sat down and engineered the no anyway. That's not a man overwhelmed by a compulsion he can't control. That's a man running a project patiently around the people who trusted him. So the natural question about someone like this is the one anybody asks. Is he sorry? Has he changed? Does he take responsibility now? And the research on this is genuinely blunt. That is close to the wrong question to be asking. The largest analysis of its kind pooled 95 separate studies in more than 30,000 offenders, and it found that remorse, denial, psychological distress, and a stated desire for treatment barely predict whether a man reoffends. 2 things actually do. The first is what he is genuinely drawn to, as opposed to what he says. The second is whether he has a documented history of breaking rules and working around whatever is built to contain him. Josh Duggar has both. In writing, going back to the age of 15. And the statistics are even gentler on him than the truth is, because in every one of those studies, reoffending means getting caught. Run Josh Duggar's own life through that filter for 16 straight years. He was married, employed, respected, and flagged by no database anywhere on earth. On paper, a model of rehabilitation, a quiet success story. A federal jury later found that across those exact same 16 years on a computer at a used car lot that he owned, because surprise, he sold used cars, he was doing this the entire time. The apology was never the thing to watch. What a man does when he is convinced no one is looking, that is the thing, which is what makes one particular document so ugly. In 2025, Josh Duggar filed a motion asking for a new trial. A federal judge denied it. But denial is not the point. The point is what he chose to argue in it. Some of it was ordinary. He argued that a part-time employee with computer skills might have been the real culprit. He argued that the government's lead forensic expert had doctored the evidence and lied under oath. He argued that the entire prosecution was politically motivated in a super conservative state, led by their buddies, the Huckabees. Yeah. It was all a conspiracy. All politically motivated. They don't add up. Two of his arguments are what kind of stop you. The first is that his trial was unfair in part because his sister's confidential records had been made public. His sisters, the same girls he admitted to harming when he was a teenager, their exposure, their childhood, dragged into the open, was something Josh Duggar formally listed in a federal filing as a harm that had been done to him. Their stories harmed him. Yes, they did, Josh, and they have every right to. The second reaches all the way back to 2015. That year, a statement went out under Josh Duggar's name. It admitted he had led a double life. It admitted he had been unfaithful to his wife. It admitted, in his own words, that he had acted inexcusably and hurt others. That statement ended his television show. It ended his public career. The entire country read it. And in 2025, in the motion, Josh Duggar tells a federal judge that he never wrote it. No, wasn't me. That television producers put those words in his mouth that the confession America watched him make was never actually his. Line it up and you can see exactly what he's doing in there. He's not serving a sentence. He's going back through his own life with an eraser. The evidence a jury saw was faked. The employee, nobody charged, did it. The prosecution was a political hit. His sister's pain has been quietly reclassified as his grievance. And the confession the nation read was somebody else's script. Every year that passes, Josh Duggar is a little less guilty than he was the year before in his mind. Give him enough of them, and in his own retelling, he walks out innocent. You know, in a few years, I mean, he's going to be like a deity or something. Oh, God. Is that where he's going? He'll be a prophet soon? I wouldn't put anything past these people. And he does walk out on February 2nd of 2033, unless prison justice gets to him first. Whatever date that number finally drifts to, Josh Duggar leaves federal prison. He'll be in his mid-40s. He'll be a registered offender under long-term supervision. And any time he spends with one of his own children, who is still a minor, will legally have to be supervised by another adult. That is the entire apparatus that will stand between Josh Duggar and a child, a parole officer, and a chaperone. Contrast that with what his sisters did. When their brother Joseph was arrested, the Duggar women spoke, Jill, Jessa, Ginger, Jana, Joey, Anna, one after another, and every single statement was about the 9-year-old girl, her healing, her family, what she is owed. Joseph Duggar has pled not guilty to his crimes. He is presumed innocent, and none of the allegations against him have been tested in a courtroom yet, but faced with the news of a child allegedly hurt, his sisters thought first about the child. Another Duggar doing the same sort of shit. Faced with the very same news from his cell, their brother thought about himself. That's almost always how it runs. The people who are harmed spend the rest of their lives carrying the person who harmed them. It goes the other direction almost never. Josh Duggar should never again be trusted to be alone with a child, not because he hasn't apologized. The apology was worthless the first time. And it's worthless now because he's gone back and taken it away. He should never be trusted again for the reason the record has been screaming for 23 years. Every single time somebody built something to stand between this man and what he wanted, he found the way around it. A family friend instead of police, a hidden partition instead of a software. His own wife was reading. a motion to unwrite his confession instead of serving the time a jury gave him every single time. He's not going to stop looking for a way around the wall. It is the one thing about Josh Duggar that has never changed, and it is the only thing that has ever reliably told you what he will do next. The only question left is whether anyone is still watching when he gets out. Joseph's next. Want to hear the latest on him? Press subscribe. We're going to drop that one tomorrow. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.